Oh, 1980. Never, ever change. Luckily, you can't, because that's how time works. But here's a theme song.
Loitering in Wonderland, Westworld Review.
Hello, citizens. Welcome to LAW Westworld Review, a.k.a. Oh, starting over. Violent Ends for episode 39, Beyond Westworld 101, Westworld Destroyed. This one debuted... Oh, God. March 5th, 1980. It's almost March 5th in a few days. That is my wife's birthday. And what a birthday. Several years, over a decade before she was born. But anyway, this episode is directed by Ted Post, who directed some Clint Eastwood movies. He also, on this program, on this network, we mostly know him as a Twilight Zone director, because he did season one, A World of Difference, a good episode. He did Probe 7 Over and Out in Season 5, Mr. Garrity in the Graves, and then The Fear, which we also just did a redux of recently on LAW, The Twilight Zone Review. I forget what that's called, a.k.a. I just renamed all the shows. What is that? Year of the Beholder. That's what I called it. That's all I had. Anyway, Ted Post directed it. It's exactly what I expected from the first episode. By the way, if you can't tell, I am sick, so this entire rest of this series, of this podcast, is going to be me sick, holding back coughs and snot, and I apologize ahead of time. I am trying. But yeah, it's exactly what I expected for the first episode, but then episode two caught me off guard, and I went, oh, that's what this series is. But I'll get into that. This one has credits, long, long 1980s credits, where it goes on for a minute and a half of just... And blah, 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 as John, Simon, Laura. And it's like the actor's name as if John McMullen is as John Moore really helps you out when you're trying to decide if you want to watch the show. There's a guy named Joseph Oppenheimer, Foley, Captain Farrell, and then someone named Parker. I don't know who any of these people are beyond the first few. They don't really say their names, so it didn't matter. And then I didn't realize who Oppenheimer was. I forgot after this first episode. Because I took a bit of a break, and yeah, I came back and I was like, who's that guy with the fro? I thought Oppenheimer was the old guy that was with Quaid later, but that's not the case. I didn't mention Quaid in the credits, but he is the bad guy. He's the heel of the show. And Laura gets quickly replaced after the pilot episode by someone named Pamela, which was very confusing for me, because I thought they're going to have both of them, so I'm waiting. And I'm kind of like writing Laura in my notes. I'm like, oh, this is a Pamela girl. Okay. And I thought, I didn't know what was going on. You know how pilots, they change out the cast sometimes. And I didn't expect that with just one person. Kind of strange, but whatever. And the girl that plays Laura was doing fine. I don't know why she got replaced. Anyway, Laura tells John, my notes read John Westworld as if that's his name. But she tells John that Westworld was destroyed, basically summarizing the movie Westworld. And he says he was the head of security. So this show is like if Ashley Stubbs from the HBO show got his own spinoff. And he has to, like in season 3 and 4, when he has to start tracking shit down. I think it's just 4. And following up and find out who's robots. That's what we'd be dealing with nowadays. Which sounds cool, because it would be much better than this. Because it would have to be. This is a... What does the show have? A 4.6 out of 10. And I don't disagree. But she's explaining that the robots shut down at 2 a.m. She says that Simon Quaid is behind the revolt, the robot revolt. And then throughout the show, there's only 5 episodes, and I had to buy them on YouTube for like $10 the whole season. But the whole show, John likes to say things like he thinks they're smart, where he goes, the robots can only be as evil as their whoever programs them or something like that. Like, no, I don't think you realize how robotics works. But whatever. He also has lots of long speeches, and he has a favorite thing, but I'll get to that in future episodes. He has a favorite thing, and that is yelling at people and coercing them into doing his dirty work while they're laying in a hospital bed severely injured. Like, having just suffered some sort of atrocity to their body, he's like, but you got to go out there and risk your life every single second for me. I need to find a robot. Come on. Oh, you're so selfish. As if he's putting himself in the same whatever. The dude loves it. He gets rock hard doing that. There's a submarine in this one. I'm glad the submarine didn't stick around for all five episodes, but now that I've seen the four after this, I kind of wish it did, because I didn't mind the submarine for once. I don't like submarine movies and stuff, but yeah, comparatively. There's a guy named Captain Farrell. He doesn't fuck around with the book. He's like, some guy's like, I'm gonna send that guy somewhere else because he's kind of tired after being awake for 57 hours. And he's like, no, man, no, that's not cool. Like, it's my ship. Just shut the fuck up. He goes, you follow the book until it crosses me. Then you follow me. He doesn't fuck around. Quaid is watching on TV as Laura and John tour the frozen robots in Westworld because they haven't moved since the massacre. And this is when Oppenheimer joins them. Should have read my notes later so I knew who Oppenheimer was. But do you hear what I said? Quaid is watching TV. He does this for the entire series. He watches the show Beyond Westworld with you and comments on it, like Mystery Science Theater 3000 style. Where he's like, oh, here comes more again. Well, you know what they say. They always have, like, folksy wisdom. Him and Mortis have the folksy wisdom at any chance. They're going to give out. They're going to spout something. And you notice throughout this season, in just five episodes, Quaid's crew goes from a full, like in this first episode, there's like 7 to 10 people working for him, and they're all moving around doing stuff. And the next episode, it's like 4. And then by the time he gets to the last episode, it's him and sometimes another guy. It's the professor from Gilligan's Island. And they don't move at all. Like, it gets cheaper and cheaper and cheaper as it goes. Like, I feel like if this would have went to a full 24 to 26 episode season, it would have just cut to the monitors alone in a room. And the room would just get sadder and sadder and emptier every time we saw it. But it's just, it's pathetic. Like, they didn't want to spend any money on extras after the pilot. He's also somehow watching this submarine footage that Captain Farrell's on. I don't know how the fuck he has a camera on this thing. He has cameras everywhere, and they match the camera that we're watching Beyond Westworld on. It's kind of incredible. There's one episode later where they're walking in a police station, and the camera's, like, trucking behind them. And that's the camera he has to watch. Like, wouldn't they notice the cameraman or something walking backward in front of them? It's ridiculous. Quaid has Foley program one of the robots to kill all three of the guys, John, Laura, and Oppenheimer. It pulls a gun on old Oppie, shoots him in the leg, and then they fight and blah, blah, blah. Who cares? It's boring. The fights are so goddamn boring. And then John ends up luckily and just completely randomly throwing the robot in some water, and that zzz, 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 and he's dead. That's it. And so then Quaid activates all the robots just as they're escaping on a helicopter. I guess the whole plot of not only this episode but the show is, here's an event. There's a secret robot here due to reason. We know about it for reasons. Now Moore and Laura, and then Moore and Pamela and the rest of the episodes must go find out who the secret robot is of the week. And this would have been so goddamn repetitive had it gone any longer than 5. It was repetitive at 5, but holy shit, I can't imagine. I mean, then again, back in the day, TV shows like this were allowed to be repetitive. Now, you can't get away with this shit now. This would not stand. This aggression will not stand. But I guess Quaid's ultimate deal is he's mad at Delos for fucking over his robots and just making them, like, toys, essentially. So he wants to destroy Delos. Hence why he has the sub. We meet a robot named Jan, who's nice enough to take off her shirt. Only instead of HBO Westworld titties, we get circuitry. And she's like, playing with her circuits. And then Laura's like, hey, look it, no titties, just circuits. And Moore's like, okay. And I guess Jan is just there to, like, replace hazardous jobs for humans. And then she leaves. And we never see her again. I'm assuming she died. I don't know what happened to her. Doesn't matter. At this point, I'm getting lazier, so I wrote J&L. That's John and Laura. They board a sub to find a robot. They helicopter in and go to a goddamn sub. They're there for all of 10 minutes in which Laura gets stuck in a hydraulic door, and then she's saved by someone, and they're immediately suspicious of him because it's a heavy door. And they're like, how'd you get so strong? And he's like, well, my daddy used to make me carry him through the rain on the farm, and, you know, he used to have to carry the pigs up to the top floor of our farmhouse. Just, you know, he's just making up, it sounds like he's just making up stories of what a human would say. So they're like, And then John gets a letter and is immediately the fuck out of the sub, because that sub is just willing to go wherever on this guy's whim. But he goes in he gets a letter to go to a car, gets in the car, is immediately gassed by Foley, who's in the driver's seat. He wakes up in a shack. Quaid questions him about blind luck. He has like this torture thing, and he's making him lie and or making him tell the truth, you know. And then he's lying every single answer, and it's so boring. And then he leaves him alone with a snake, like Kill Bill 2, Part 2, where she leaves Michael Madsen with a snake. So dumb. Or I guess she does that as well, because she leaves, what's her name? The girl with no eyes. And that. Why am I, Daryl Hannah, she leaves her alone with a snake as well. It is a worthy adversary, because he immediately grabs a snake and shoves its head in a light socket and kills it within seconds. And it was so goddamn boring. Nothing happens. It's just like, oh, here's a problem. And every time it goes to commercial, it's like, and it freeze frames because it's 80s TV. Oh, God, it's just boring. It doesn't need to be 46 minutes long. As they're going, because he gets free, and as they're walking away, this is a similar location. It's clearly the studio back lot. It's very clearly. And one of the guys is backing up a truck and then slips, and then he saves Laura's life. John Moore saves Pamela. Not Pamela. Laura's life. It's Pamela later. Saves her life from a goddamn backing up truck. Holy shit, that took me forever to say that. And then he's like, oh, sorry, man. My brakes. I'm so sorry. And then they're like, Another suspicious man. Every man is suspicious. They're immediately back on the sub, because at noon they had to do the missile test or missile something. And Farrell wants to point the... No, sorry, Captain... Was it Captain Farrell? Fuck it, I'll say Captain Farrell. I think I deleted that note. But anyway, he wants to point a missile at a city as a test. And he's like, do you think that's... Moore's like, do you think that's a good idea, man? That's pointing a missile at a city. Think about that. And he's like, oh, it's fine. It's cool, man. I do it all the time. Rarely. Only semi-rarely does it go wrong. I've only taken out a couple cities. It's... Honestly, we're fine. And then Moore realizes that he left a handprint on the thing, as the captain was leaning on as well, but Captain Farrell did not leave a handprint. So then he's like, all right, well, this guy's a fucking robot. And then he gets caught sending out a signal, and he's sending the signal back to his headquarters for Delos, to his men. Meanwhile, Delos is freaking the fuck out. Everyone in the building's fleeing, and it's clearly they didn't practice the fire alarm, the fire drill, because it's just, they're throwing papers and then like clawing at each other's eyes. It's like an apocalypse movie. There's screaming nonstop, and like nobody's running in a straight line or acting with any reason. Like they're panicked to the point where they're taking longer to get out of the building, which is just stupid. It's the woman in a horror movie that can't stop screaming when she's trying to hide from the serial killer, like the Jason Voorhees, and she, you know, she taps a bucket and she screams because it makes this tiny little noise. And it's like, the only reason you're going to get killed now is because you won't shut up. Like, do you actually want to live or do you want to scream? Those are two opposite things at this point. Anyway, he arms the missile, the captain does, because the signal, the ship gets put on red alert. John Moore sets the fire alarm. I think this is the only episode I'm going to call him John. I'm going to call him Moore from here on out, because everyone else does, so I just started doing it. And then he shoots the captain and sprays him with a fire extinguisher. And then he's like, and just kind of slows him down. And then I didn't see this the first time around, but watching back, I thought John just shot off a missile, because the I don't know what to call him, the co-captain, was like, what do we do about the whatever it is in the missile tank? And he goes, flips open this thing, hits five green buttons, and then goes, poof, fires it off. And I'm like, did you just shoot that missile at the city? Because then it just ends. The episode goes to credits. And I'm like, did our hero just blow up a city? But I was, you know, just going through to make sense of my notes, and I saw that the captain, they kicked the captain into the missile thing. So they shot the captain into the, through the water, which is just fucking brutal. But then again, in this world, water kills robots. It's not like the HBO series, because the HBO one, he would just be on the bottom of the ocean floor, just like, well, I guess this is my life now. I don't have the wherewithal to swim up, you know, in the middle of the Marianas Trench. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm just going to sit here until, I guess, I rot apart. How do I speed this up? Although they could do what Charlotte Hale did in the last episode and just, you know, take out your own brain ball. I guess that's robot suicide. That's how they do it. Oh, that's the end of the episode, though. We got credits. It's stupid. It's boring. I didn't really like it that much. I gave it a 5, though, because I like the... As much as I hate 80s TV, I kind of appreciated it because how simple and stupid it was. It gave me feelings of the Incredible Hulk series from the 70s, which I enjoy. I like that show. This show, not so much, but it was Westworld, so I gave it a 5 instead of a lower score, which I do give future episodes lower scores because they get worse. Speaking of that, let's get to my brother's keeper next. Until next time, and in the meantime, I'm Phoenix West. So long, citizens.